Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. And I say build because this, my friends, is not a get rich quick scheme. However, today's episode is incredibly timely because we are talking about the thing that is taking over the minds of Americans, and it is 100% a get rich quick trap. We are talking all about betting, gambling, and the newest thing, which is prediction markets. Oh my gosh, you guys, we're just after the Super Bowl. We need to talk about this. So crazy. I'm learning about it too. If you haven't yet heard of these two new apps, Kalshi, K-A-L-S-H-I, and Polymarket, I'm gonna educate us all today. This is a crazy topic to talk about because it ties so much into, the roots of what we discuss here at Old Money, which is building being the keyword, building sustainable wealth, not letting our nervous system or dopamine run our financial decisions, and the dream of making it big and getting rich quick. So today's episode, we're going to go through it all. We're going to mention it all, but I want to start the show with a disclaimer first and foremost. I think this is really important. You know me, and Old Money is lighthearted. We're doing some cultural commentary, and obviously this is meant to be educational. However, I say that with the big disclaimer of the fact that gambling can be addictive and harmful for some people. And the things we're talking about today, gambling, sports betting, speculative trading, the prediction markets, those can all be forms of gambling and they can be unhealthy. So I know I'm going to sound like an after-school special, but if you or someone you know are dealing with gambling addiction, and that can be a real disease, not something that we're all equipped to handle on our own. So with that, I want to make sure that the resources are out there. 1-800-GAMBLER if you need free confidential support 24 hours a day, or if you have somebody in your life who is abusing prediction markets, sports gambling, etc. I'm going to talk gently about this at the end of the episode two of ways to broach this conversation, because honestly, this is destroying relationships, and I have the Reddit threads to prove it. So first of all, the timeliness. It's Super Bowl season and everybody's looking to make a buck by putting some skin in the game, as they say. The 2026 estimates for how much money is going to be bet is $1.7 billion. That's a lot of money. 67 million Americans in the United States are expected to wager, which is up 27% from last year. That means 27% more of people are betting this year compared to just last year in 2025. Why is that happening? It's my opinion because it is getting to become frictionless. Sports betting is now frictionless, it's social, and it's constant, and it's becoming a year-round habit. Whereas before, people would put in on the big game if they were in Las Vegas or they were betting amongst friends. Now, with the rollout of all of these different sports betting apps as they become legal in certain states, it is becoming more and more common for people to be using them all year long on sports they don't even care about or watch. Just to kind of establish scale, in 2024, legal U.S. sportsbooks took over $150 billion in bets. They're keeping about $14 billion of that in revenue, but the thing is, it's exploding every single year. Like we talked about, 27% more people are betting this year on the Super Bowl than they did last year. There was a study done by NerdWallet that said 1 in 5 Americans, that's 20% of Americans, have placed a sports bet in the last year, and it's mostly men under 45 participating. It's noted that 26% of young men under 45 are engaging in some sort of online betting. Why is that? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, just biologically, psychologically, men are more prone to risk-taking, especially young men. And the gambling, especially sports betting or prediction markets, it stimulates your brain's reward center in a way that's similar to drugs. And of course, it causes addiction. The other thing is that it's becoming so easy to access, it's so prevalent, that it's now a social activity. It's like a way to fit in. It's part of normal sports consumption. Like, oh, did you bet the line? Or what's the money line? Or I don't even know the terms. But I can completely imagine a world of like college-aged men in Alabama betting on their team, and everybody has crazy parlays and this and that, and it's just part of the social culture. I don't think I've watched a full football game this entire season, like maybe a half of one. But but I'm on my phone most of the time. I'm just not a big football girly. I can be if there's a good story. If there's a pop culture tie-in or there's somebody they care about, like I'm all in, I'm Googling the girlfriends, I'm wanting to know where they're buying the houses, all the things. So for me this year specifically, I just really haven't been into it. But Justin loves football. He watches almost every game. We have Red Zone on in our house on Sundays. Ladies, raise your hand if you can relate. And it brings him a lot of joy. And I love to participate in things with him that are important to him. So we actually sports bet against each other in our house. Justin sets us up on an app, it's CBS Sports, and every single week we pick games, like who's gonna win. We don't pick the money line or a spread or whatever you call it. We just say like, I think team A is gonna win or team B is gonna win. And it's in an app, so it's all controlled and you have to get your bets in before the games start on Thursday. And I will have you all know that last year, I beat Justin. I beat him fair and square. This year, he beat me only by 3, but that's because I forgot to put my picks in for 1 week. So if I would have put my picks in, I would have totally won. And Amber, you're like, how do you win if you don't watch any football? Girls, I pick on vibes. I just pick on the vibes. I'm just like, who have I been hearing about? Who's winning? Who feels like they're due for a win? Like I have no system or no strategy, but it's fun for Justin and I to do together. And the prize is whoever wins gets a full like Justin Day or Amber Day. But Justin was the one that actually introduced me to this idea of prop bets, which I had never heard of before. And they usually come around during the Super Bowl. So prop bet is short for proposition bet, and they're wagers on specific events within the game rather than the sports of it all. So something that I can actually sink my teeth into. And they're funny. They're random stuff. There'll be things like, how long is the national anthem going to be sung for? Over 3 minutes or under 3 minutes? Or who's going to be brought out as a special guest in the halftime show? Or one of the cutest ones, what color will the Gatorade be when they throw it on the coach after the win? So it's funny stuff and it just kind of like helps you pay attention and oh, you're like hoping to win, and we would just kind of loosely bet against each other. Well, what's so funny about this is that the thing that I thought was the most entertaining about it all, because I don't understand spreads and money lines and all the things, and quite frankly, I don't care. Prop bets are kind of like fun, random wagers on things that could happen. And it is now pervasive in the entire world, thanks to companies like Kalshi and Polymarket. Let me just put in a quick disclaimer again here in discussing all of this. I have only just heard about these maybe in the last month. So if you are a woman listening to this show and you send it to your boyfriend, husband, brother, sister, best friend down the street, your neighbor, whomever, because they care about this, first of all, we love when you share the show. Thank you so much. Number two, they're probably going to come and clap back and be like, oh my God, you got it all wrong. Listen, I'm learning too, but I'm going to give you the broad strokes, the overview. Kalshi, Polymarket, these are prediction markets. And what's so interesting about a prediction market is that it's just like a prop bet. What they're doing is they're offering random things for you to bet on and put money, real money, wager on them to see if you can win. And what's so interesting about Polymarket, about Kalshi, about prediction markets and prop bets is that they trigger the reward center in your brain because they feel skill-based, but the outcomes are random. And it's, of course, my biggest pet peeve, the gamification of everything in this world that gets us all addicted. So here's how prediction markets work. Prediction markets are platforms where people can buy and sell contracts based on their prediction of an outcome of a future event. Let's use an example. So they might say, will team A win the Super Bowl? And you can buy into that contract at whatever rate it's going for based on the odds and based on what other people are saying. So you might buy in at 62 cents. Yes, I think that team A is going to win the Super Bowl, which is implying that you have a 62% chance of winning that bet. And if team A wins, your contract pays a dollar. If not, you lose what you pay. So again, every bet that you place in the Polymarket or Kalshi platform is a yes or no outcome. And the price is going to be based on the crowd's belief about the likelihood of the outcome. So the market sentiment influences what number you buy in at, if it's 62%, 45%, et cetera. So again, if the event happens, you get paid out. And if it doesn't, it just expires worthless. You lose your money. And that market sentiment is actually one of the ways they gamify, and they make it feel like it's smart gambling because they're using all of these layers like charts and prices and things like market sentiment. It's language that mimics investing. So it's making betting feel intellectual, not impulsive. And it's encouraging frequent trading, not long-term holding or investing like we talk about into the stock market the old money way. You're not just betting, you're like managing your position. It's kind of like how people who do fantasy football and they joke about managing their football team. I mean, they really are managing it, sure, but you're not a manager of an actual football team. So psychologically, the framing, it lowers resistance, it increases your want to do it and participate often, and it makes you feel smart. And of course, we've talked about the gamification of everything else. You know, that's the reason why I don't like Robinhood, because Robinhood is an app that gamifies day trading. Betting apps are engineered experiences designed to keep you on the app to maximize engagement, the same way Instagram and TikTok are. And Instagram's not very good at it. TikTok, that's why you get stuck in a scroll hole. Common gamification features you need to look out for in betting apps or just anything that you do: bright colors and animation, confetti, sounds, and visual wins. Like when you put in a buy on Robinhood, it shoots confetti and says, "Congratulations, you made a buy." It makes you feel like you won. And even though your brain might know that you didn't win, it's giving you a visual reward that is going to stimulate the dopamine in your brain. You also might see something like progress bars or streaks. Oh, you've been in this app every single day. Yay, like earn a new prize, boosts, free bets, limited time offers, push notifications. All of these things that are tied to creating moments of excitement around what's happening or getting you to come back in and look. And then, of course, one-click betting or one-click buying. All of those instant deposits, making it frictionless, really easy to transfer your money in, live betting during the game, all of those things, those features are not accidental. These are all strategically included in these apps. They're borrowed from mobile gaming and social media design to trigger the dopamine in your brain. You guys know, this is the number one thesis and reason I started Old Money, because an old money mindset is one that is free from financial fight or flight. And I'm not talking about people being afraid of sports gambling and wanting to flee from it. It's about having a regulated nervous system around money that is not influenced by outside forces. It's a nervous system with money that doesn't overspend, that doesn't impulsively shop, that doesn't impulsively bet, that knows that slow and steady wins the race a little bit over time, like a dollar cost averaging system is going to make you millions. But we all get tricked by dopamine. I am currently back and I am here to admit it to you all. I'm raising my hand. My name is Amber and I am again a TikTok addict. Last year, early in the year, I completely wiped it from my repertoire, and I am back. I am in the TikTok scroll hole every day. I'm just having so much fun spending time there. It's the dopamine. It's the pleasure chemical. And it's what all these polymarket sports betting apps are banking on as well. It's not just the reward of winning. It's that anticipation you feel when you're waiting to hit a win. The anticipation of a possible win, or when you almost win or you were so close, near misses, so powerful, live betting, so addictive, all of those chemicals, your brain starts chasing possibility, not even the payout. I didn't buy a lottery ticket until I was in my 20s. I remember when I did it, I was with Erica Perez at a gas station in Davis, California. It was like the first Powerball. I had never really paid attention. Even though my mom let me like select the numbers when I was a kid in the grocery cart, I have this vivid memory of her being like, "Don't let anybody see, this is illegal." And I'd pick my favorite numbers on the little keypad of the lottery machine in the grocery store. Thanks, Mom, for that early access. But I remember, like I said, buying my first lottery ticket with Erica Perez. I was working in Davis and we went to the gas station. I bought my first ticket. And that night I understood, and thank God my frontal lobe was fully formed by this time, I understood why the lottery is so addictive, because the whole night I was certain that I won. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this money? This is crazy. I'm going to have to quit my job. Where am I going to buy a house? What car am I going to buy? You get so hyped and so convinced that you win. And that feeling of the dreaming, the what if, that what would happen if, that is where the dopamine triggers you. It's not even that you win. It's the anticipation, the dreaming, that escape that your brain goes to. That's the gamification. And then you layer in the intellectual level of it all. Because prediction markets, like I said, they're tricking us all into making us think that we're really smart. Let me tell you some of the things that you can bet on, okay? First of all, right now on Polymarket, I'm going to tell you some of the most popular bets that you can make. These are all things that are tied up into people's egos and their knowledge. And so if you're right, you get to have rights on, oh, I got that right on Polymarket. In fact, right now, it's 2026. The highest volume of betting are on the Democratic and Republican presidential nominees for 2028. Like, who is actually going to run for president in 2028? People are betting on this. And just so you know, Gavin Newsom is leading on the Democratic side with 29%, and J.D. Vance is leading on the Republican side with 48%. The other thing people are heavily betting on right now, they're wagering on Bitcoin's price fluctuations. There are scenarios where people are betting on Bitcoin falling to 30,000. Right now, today it's at 70. Yesterday, it was at 60. I'm recording this on, what day is it? I don't even know. But anyway, people are betting, is it going to stay above 75,000 in February? Is it going to fall? It's kind of like hedging your bets by calling options, right? Calling options is something that we learned about in the movie The Big Short. If you remember, you're betting on things to lose. There's so many other ones, like who's going to win the World Cup, or who's going to win at the Olympics, or is the United States going to declare war on Iran? There's a million different things that you can bet on. And again, all of the charts and the market sentiment, and then you read the news and you're like, oh, well, everybody in the news is saying that Gavin Newsom's going to win, so I'm going to take my intellectual knowledge and put it to good use. It's blurring the lines between investing language, markets, pricing, trading, market sentiment, and gambling behavior, which is driven by unpredictable wins, the anticipation of a win, the dopamine there, the near win, and then, of course, add in all the gamification, like the live betting, the parlays, the constant prompts, the easy instant deposits, the instant withdrawals from your checking account, all the things. It's getting very messy. Now, one of the interesting conversations about this is regulation, because we know that sports betting is illegal in some states, and we know that it is also very heavily regulated. So when I looked up, is Kalshi regulated? It said, yeah, it's regulated. It's operating as an exchange overseen by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is an independent U.S. government agency, and it regulates the American derivatives markets, including futures and options and swaps, to protect people from fraud and manipulation and abuse, while quote unquote fostering open, competitive, and financially sound markets for essential goods like food and energy. Which is so weird to me, because the very existence of a gamified app like Kalshi or Polymarket, to me, indicates psychological manipulation through the use of gamification. Calling something a market or an exchange doesn't change the fact that you're still speculating on an outcome that you can't control. And then you have to say the other side of it, which is like, well, Amber, you can't control what happens in the stock market either. And that's also true. So there's this big question mark on how do you regulate all of these prediction markets, or do you? And it kind of comes back to, well, what is your ethos on regulation? So, you know, if you take a very libertarian view of things, you would say, let people make their own bed. And if they lose all their money on Polymarket, let them, because we do not intervene with free markets. We give adults the opportunity to exercise agency over their choices, and they can decide if they want to bet their life savings away, and that's their own problem to solve. But the other side of it says, well, if we do that, then that person's probably going to become a burden on the society, because they're not going to have any money to take care of themselves. They're going to find themselves in financial ruin. And we recognize this as a dangerous, I don't know, activity for people. So we should make sure that it is regulated, because it can become addictive. And that's where we ended up with regular gambling or sports betting, right? Like, we recognize that people have an addiction to gambling, just like they have an addiction to drugs or to alcohol, because it mimics the same reward centers in the brain. We also know that people have addictions to social media. Why? Because it triggers dopamine. It triggers addictive behavior. People have a hard time stepping away from their phone or from social media. And when you layer in the gamification tools that keep people on apps, you have a perfect storm. You have a perfect storm of keeping people on the app, having them engage in high-risk behavior, and now we just don't have a stopping point. You have an infinite scroll of wagers. You're always on screen. You get this rapid feedback, this instant deposit, and it's just creating a culture that normalizes this very risky behavior. I believe personally, and this is my own personal opinion, that these types of betting platforms or markets or whatever, it's psychologically influencing people and screwing with their dopamine, because it's training your brain to crave speed and volume and constant stimulation. And we know, my thesis is that old money avoids systems that reward impatience, that reward impulsivity. The old money contrast is that we value things like friction. If I have a problem with shopping or overspending, which I did, I absolutely did, in order to slow that down, I have to create friction in my life so that I can't really easily click Apple Pay to order a bunch of clothes on Revolve. I can't do an autofill on my credit card on my computer to get that Amazon order. I want to create the friction of not even swiping a credit card, but maybe paying cash or having money in an envelope that's set aside for bills or for groceries, to retrain my brain to slow down instead of swiping so fast. In Old Money Method, there is a whole module that is all about how to stop overspending and how to train yourself out of these habits, because our whole world is frictionless. And as a marketer, I'll tell you, our whole world is programmed to get us to spend money. And our whole world is set up to make us emotionally respond to something so that we will find status or safety or acceptance in whatever it is that we buy. And if we're going to be neutral, if we're going to be emotionally regulated, we have to find a way to get out of this gamification and get out of this dopamine reward system, because it shapes our behavior. It shapes our behavior with sports betting. It shapes our behavior with prediction markets. It shapes our behavior with overspending. And I fear that these types of apps or these programs are just set up to even hook disciplined people or people who have a high opinion of themselves or consider themselves smart, because knowledge does not protect you from gamification, and intelligence doesn't immunize you from wanting to participate and showcase how smart you are, even to yourself. And with this, like, oh, I'll just bet once for fun, it turns into a habit faster than people expect, because the system is not designed for decision making. It's designed for compulsion. It's designed for ego. It's designed for a quick hit. And what I noticed in myself back when I was way overspending, just to make myself feel better, to fill that emotional hole, you can go into Old Money Method if you want to learn more about this and how I overcame my massive credit card debt, my recurring credit card debt, my overspending, even when I was making six figures, living paycheck to paycheck, because I was trying to accept myself through the things that I was buying, thinking that they were going to solve the problems for me of how I felt about myself. But more importantly, it just felt like money wasn't real. I didn't even see money transacting, because I was just swiping a card, whether it was a debit card or a credit card. And when it feels like a game, it's like, do you guys remember that board game, Mall Madness? We were trained as kids, like, maybe Mall Madness is the reason why I have an overspending problem, because your brain stops treating it like money. It feels like a game. And dopamine doesn't care if you call it investing or shopping or betting or entertainment. The dopamine cycle still occurs in your brain and gets you addicted to the behavior. And another thing we talk about in Old Money Method is investing and what people think investing is and what it really should be. And I think a lot of people think investing is watching CNBC and having a ticker in your room and day trading and knowing who's going to go up and what's going to go down. And that is not the way that I invest, okay? In Old Money Method, I don't tell you what to do because this is not investment advice, but I do tell you that there are different ways to approach investing where you can still become a millionaire without having to look at your phone and know about what's going on with earnings reports and quarterlies and all these types of things, because I believe that day trading is just as dangerous as gambling. In fact, UCLA agrees with me because their gambling studies program had a study that said that short-term speculation or day trading shares psychological similarities with a gambling disorder. Even though day trading addiction is not a formal diagnosis, but there are associations between how people day trade, meaning they're going to buy and sell stocks on a daily basis, they're watching all of the markets, all the things, and their involvement in gambling behaviors or fallacies. It doesn't matter what the asset class is. It could be shopping. It could be gambling on Poly Market. It could be gambling on the Super Bowl. It could be making a bet on a stock. It's all the same behavior. And old money, real stewardship is about preservation. It's about repeatable systems. It's about a long-term time horizon, not a quick win. It's about risk management, and it's about a regulated nervous system. And gambling, the high of day trading, the high of sports betting, the high of prediction markets is about volatility. It's about emotion-driven decisions. It's about short-term horizons and quick wins, totally in conflict with one another. So what to do if somebody that you know is gambling, how to approach the conversation? Well, first of all, I want to just say it again. This is a serious addiction for a lot of people, similarly to drug addiction or alcoholism, and it should be treated with as much care. I'm talking about professional help. I'm talking about free resources through 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have somebody in your life that is gambling and it's becoming unhealthy. These are very serious, very intense conversations to have. I wanted to give a couple of ideas of how to approach the start of a conversation. First of all, tone is everything. Intent is everything. So we want to make sure we're not coming at them accusatory. We want to be calm. We want to be specific. We want to be framing things with observations, not labels or accusations. So a couple of things that you could say to start a conversation might be, my number one go-to for any hard conversation is you don't spring it on them. You say, hey, can we talk about this for 10 minutes tonight? Or do you have capacity to discuss this? I need to talk to you about something. I think that's really good, just kind of like letting you know that I need an in. The other thing would be to be really neutral. I noticed, or I've observed, like I've noticed you've been betting more often and I've noticed you seem stressed afterwards. I think it's also really important to make sure that they know that you're coming from a place of love. I am not judging you. I am worried about what this is doing to your peace. From a practical perspective, if you're in a relationship with somebody who is abusing gambling, you need to make sure that you have separate accounts, at least for a period. You should not have any shared funds used for betting. You need to have transparency agreements. That's different from control or surveillance. But if you have a clear and honest agreement about this and it's transparent, that's great. There might be some conversations you want to have about no bet zones, like, hey, don't be betting after drinking or after losses or after a late night. Like, we know that doesn't do anything good for you. Can we agree to have some boundaries here? Now, just to turn the lens back on ourselves, if you are listening to this and you are gambling and you want to stop or you want to calm it down, the first and most important thing, I think, is to share with somebody that you trust and love that you are having thoughts about this an issue, because taking the air out of the situation by sharing it with somebody is so helpful to get support and an outside opinion. Because honestly, our secrets keep us sick. And when you can pull the air out of something and talk about it openly, it gives you more resource. Like, you are going to lean on the resources of somebody else to assist you with this transition out of the habit. Obviously, you want to put friction in wherever you can. And I'm not just talking about deleting the apps, but like freezing deposit methods, so you can't put more money into the app, using tools to brick your phone. There is actually a brick on your phone. You might need to get rid of your smartphone for a while if it's really becoming an issue, locking it in a box, giving somebody else a key. You need to make sure that you're replacing that dopamine loop with exercise, social connection, structured hobbies. Of course, again, I'm going to say it, the National Gambling Helpline, 1-800-GAMBLER. Key starting point for more specific help on this. I am no expert in gambling addiction, and it is something that should be taken seriously. The biggest thing that I want to say here is that getting rich quick is really about the fact that people are not craving money. They are craving relief and freedom and status and safety and resources and options and whatever feelings they think that money is going to bring them. It's escapism. And I get it. Like, a lot of people are looking to escape, and the dopamine feels like an escape. The focus on something else feels like escape. The thought of hitting it big feels like an escape. And if that's something that's attractive, it's one of those things, it's a hard conversation to have. It's like, why do we feel like we have to escape our lives the way that it is? Why do we need to escape? I want us all to be living in lives that we love and are so satisfied by and feel so good about. And a lot of us haven't had the opportunity to really build intentional lives that we don't feel like we need to escape from. And I say this from the perspective of somebody who has severely suffered with mental health in her life before, and talking about the ultimate escape and the things that I have dealt with in my own brain and life and the things that I've wanted to escape from. I get it. I get it completely. And the pursuit of building a life that we don't need to escape from, we don't need to have this dopamine constant in our lives, has been honestly a work of art for me. That's what it's come to: creating the podcast, building my businesses, challenging myself, getting to my edges all the time. It's so uncomfortable and it makes me so tired sometimes. But the reality is there are other ways that I have found for myself to bring me the illumination, the joy, the feeling, the dopamine that have nothing to do with unhealthy behaviors anymore. And it's been a journey for me in my own way, without going into too much detail here. But we deserve joy, and we deserve real joy. We deserve serotonin, not the dopamine, you know, like the real joy, the feelings of wealth. And the ways that we measure wealth, old money style, are our time, our relationships, our purpose, our health, and of course, our bank account that allows us to travel the world and indulge in good wine and be with good friends and take time off work and doing all those things. Old money doesn't get lucky. It gets consistent. It gets regulated, and it gets wealthy. The type of wealth that is sustainable, that is enduring. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. That's my whole purpose of this podcast and why I love having these conversations with you guys. It really is that. And my fear with this normalization of sports betting and prediction markets is that we're just spiraling farther and farther away from regulation and from understanding and respecting the ways that our brains work with all these crazy chemicals and things. So if you or someone you know are dealing with a over-reliance on the hit of dopamine through social media, sports betting, prediction markets, day trading, over-shopping, there are resources for you out there. 1-800-GAMBLER is a great place to start. Share this episode with a friend, with somebody who needs it. Let me know if you have been participating in Polymarket or Kalshi, all of these new prediction markets, and if you feel comfortable with the normalization of it all. I would love to hear from you. You know how to get a hold of me. It's Old Money Podcast on Instagram, on TikTok, oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com, or on the website with any of your thoughts. I would love to hear from you. I hope you guys all had a great Super Bowl weekend. I hope your hangovers are finally a thing of the past and that you have a great week ahead. I love you all so much, and I'll talk to you on the next episode.